미치미치미 experience 세게 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 신 두신 로데비지리 미망고 할람 리카셰베 generation 카셰르니 다 깔레지네 나는 컴퓨터 사로다 식 미신디디 generation generation 다 깔레지면 두셀레베리 마도 니미지로 죽매바.
Now the development of the mind depends upon many internal causes and conditions, a great many. Just as a spaceship such as the Columbia may look as if it's taking off and moving about very easily, but actually is dependent upon the work of people over many generations, scientists who even from very small parts of the spaceship have done analysis and investigation. There have been many, many, many causes and conditions that come together to make the spaceship possible. So it is with internal mental development. However, with external progress, many people can work together and contribute what they have to the general enterprise. Whereas with internal development, what somebody else achieves internally cannot be given straight away over to someone else, right? There's no way to take somebody else's blueprint and thereby transfer those realizations into yourself. So thus, in answer to the earlier question, although the meaning of the path and the power of the path can be brought together under the rubric of the undifferentiable method and wisdom in highest yoga tantra, one has to work from very small levels in order to build up method and in order to build up wisdom. So then, what is needed in order to have the training in ethics? Within ethics, the main form of ethics is restraint from ill deeds, and of which there are three different varieties. One of individual liberation, one of the bodhisattvas, and one of secret mantra. A Chinese monk mentioned to me recently that the ethics of the bodhisattva is mainly concerned with restraining the mind, whereas the ethics of individual liberation is mainly concerned with restraining body and speech. He was exactly right. That's true. However, even though bodhisattvas are mainly concerned with restraining ill deeds of mind, it is not that they are not concerned with restraining ill deeds of body and speech.
Speech and physical.
Yes, body and speech.
Mm. That in this order, Sudim Lea, Sudim Talaya, Rajungu Sudim Da, and Kasa, Kimbe Sudim Jenny, Da, Kani Sundu.
Within the first level of ethics, that of individual liberation, there are two types. Those who are living in the householder's life, and those who have left the householder's life. Within those vows, there are those that are taken as long as for the period. In the vinaya or discipline, there are vows that are taken as for the period as long as one lives, and there are other vows that are just taken for one day, 24 hours.
So then, me, chikwe, nyamlin chenge ki, kasori pake, nyuga chichung ni shibwe, ta tomba rinpo mangu sungwa ya, jim zentir ba.
And the, this is, the reason why so many different levels of ethical practices are set forth is that there are so many different levels of ability within people with regard to what they can keep. If a person is capable of maintaining chastity over the lifetime, then that person can leave the household or take that type of vow. Whereas if the person is not able to do that, but can keep vows for the entire lifetime, the person can take the layperson's vows for the lifetime. And for the person who cannot do that, then there are vows that are kept for only one day.
Oh, yeah.
In the Tibetan system, there are 253 vows which a monk must keep. This accord, which a full monk must keep, a bhikshu must keep. This being in accordance with the Sarvastivada school, school's interpretation. Whereas in the Theravada school, they keep a system of
227 vows.
With regard to the more important vows, such as the four defeats, the 13 remainders, and so forth. They're exactly the same in both our system and the Theravada system. Whereas with regard to the minor faults, there are some differences. For instance, in the discipline of the Sarvastivada school, there are some seven different precepts or vows with regard to the lower robe. Whereas in the Theravada system, there is a mention only that one should wear, one should properly wear the lower robe, that's all. Thus, these are extremely minor differences. The Vaibhashika school is divided into four basic schools, out of which 18 schools further divided. Among those four, one of them is Sarvastivada, and another is Theravada. The system of vows that's present in Tibet is that of Sarvastivada, and Theravada, of course, is Theravada.
The peasant bit deva, peasant jana agitum yunala, peasant bit deva, peasant yaw mendo samshito.
It seems that the transmission of the vows in China is mainly that of one of the other four schools, that called Mahasanghika.
No, that diggy. Only that did a sudden rather sudden gun that the Tanta floor of the shell and never shit a chavale. That was a good yard. That shell and never shit a chaval. That domni. Oh, the music then shame.
The main meaning of this type of ethics is to refrain or restrain from harming others.
That shell and never ascend.
As well as the basis of such harm, this means that one needs to, that one refrains from physical and verbal actions that would bring harm to others, as well as the mental motivation that leads to those sorts of actions. Thus, the main point is to refrain from harming others. And with the Bodhisattva's system of ethics, the main factor that one is refraining from is selfishness, self-cherishing. There are indeed many factors that can be explained, but the main is selfishness.
The
ethics, which is the abandonment of the 10 non-virtues, serves as the foundation for all types of ethics. There are three physical, four verbal, and three mental. The three physical ones to be avoided are killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. The four of speech are lying, divisive talk, harsh talk, and senseless talk. And the three of the mind are covetousness, harmful intent, and wrong views. In order to have good practice of the ethics of individual liberation, one needs a good motivation. It is not suitable to have a low motivation for engaging in ethics. One can't be engaging in ethics, say, in order to escape punishment by a government, or one cannot be engaging in ethics just to have the good lifestyle of someone who's left the household or life, in other words, doesn't have to search for food and clothing. Rather, the ethics should be motivated by a wish to get out of cyclic existence, renunciation. In Buddhist life story itself, he in the deeds that he displayed, Shakyamuni first saw an ill person when he was going about, then he saw an old person, and then he saw a corpse. Through seeing these, he was caused to think that worldly life had no essence, that worldly life had no pith. Then after that, he saw a few religious practitioners, which gave him and he got some inspiration then to engage in the religious life, and thereupon left the householder's type of life. So thus, similarly, the followers of Buddha should engage in some form of the ethics of individual liberation, and at that time work at generating a fully qualified attitude of wishing to get out of the worldly type of cyclic existence. In this process, one needs to identify what sorts of suffering there are, and then come to understand what the causes of those sufferings are, and whether it's possible or not to remove those causes of suffering, and then upon seeing that it is possible to determine and practice the paths that will bring about that cessation. Thus, the development of a mind of renunciation depends upon an understanding of the Four Noble Truths. When Buddha taught the first wheel of doctrine, when he turned the first wheel of doctrine, he taught the Four Noble Truths in this order. First, sufferings, then the causes of suffering, then the cessation, and then the paths. In terms of the fact, how cause and effect are actually produced, the second truth, that of origins, is actually first, and the first, suffering, is second. And the in terms of afflicted phenomena, and then in terms of pure phenomena, the paths come first, and then cessation comes second. However, Buddha did not teach the four truths in that order, but rather taught them in the order of practice. In practice, one needs first to identify suffering, to identify the extent of suffering, due to which one develops a sense that this type of suffering life is not suitable, whereupon one searches to find out what the causes of such suffering are. When one understands that suffering depends upon causes and investigates what those causes, one determines the origins, the second truth. When one identifies suffering, indeed one develops a wish to get rid of that suffering. But it is not until one has determined what the root causes of that suffering are that one can understand that there could be a cessation of that suffering. Therefore, Buddha taught the third truth, that of cessation, after teaching the first two truths, those of suffering and of the origins of suffering. Without first understanding with great determination that there is such a thing as the cessation of suffering, one could consider the practice of the paths just to be a matter of hardship. Therefore, Buddha taught the third truth, that of cessation, prior to teaching the fourth truth, the paths that lead to that cessation.
다 달아야 동네 나라도 남주 니리 니리 그소리 그 차야 나러리야 땅 아주 영자 셔대하게 지금 권나야 서로 동네 들잖아 동네 지 동네 슬라버리
땅 With regard to suffering, there is the usual type of pain that we undergo in our day-to-day life, such as headaches and so forth. That's one level of suffering. The kind of happiness that we are usually seeking is usually or mostly a matter of a lessening of pain, something that appears to be pleasurable, which is just a lessening of pain. It's not something that has an inner nature of pleasure. In fact, or in truth, it's not something that is just pleasurable. If these things were really just pleasurable, if they had an inner nature of pleasure, then no matter how much we use them, they would always generate pleasure. However, if we use them too much, they begin to generate pain. This indicates that they have an inner nature of pain, and thus such states of happiness are called the suffering of change.
Mm-hmm.
I usually like to tell the story of a family that buys a new television set. And compared to the old television set, it's really great and they enjoy it and watch it a lot for several days. But then after that, it begins to be a little disgusting and awful to them.
Oh yeah. Since I got you see dead shows, that
shows that it has a nature of pain itself.
You see, our life, the nature of our life, you see, the beginning, is birth. During that period, we suffer. We have suffering, right?
Yes.
Another is a kind of suffering. Now, you see, the last moment of our life is death. That also is suffering. Between these two, you see, the old age, as well as, you see, illness, these also are suffering. So, you see, no matter what facility you have, what your physical is good, in any case, you have to go through these suffering. On top of that, you see, worst kind of suffering is discontentment, uncontentment.
Discontentment.
You want more and more and more. You see, that is a real, in a sense, that is the real poorest. No contentment, then always hungry. You want more and more and more. There's no time to satisfy. So, In a sense,
this is the poorest state.
Now, see, people, they actually may not be rich, but contented. So, in a sense, that is the real, this is richest. Okay. So, no worry. Ah, very good sleep. Less enemy. It's less problem. That's it, you see. So, now you see our life, you see, life pattern. And especially in, you see, the modern, you see, way of life. Sometimes, you see, we are losing the real human value. Gradually, sometimes, you see, human become a just, how to say, productive animal. Mm-hmm.
Animal for production.
Huh? And in certain cases, you see, human being become a sort of part of a mission. The sort of, you see, main purpose is making money. And that is absolutely wrong. The main purpose of making money is happiness of mankind. Not the opposite, you see. Not man for money. Money for man. But somehow, you see, now sometimes the situation going that way. So, you see, that is the nature of suffering. Suffering nature. That is the, you see, the indication of suffering nature. Now, again, you see, our friend, now this is mainly deal with articles or material thing. Now, the friends, usually we feel that is the, our friend, the one of the factor which gives you more pleasure and happiness. But again, now you see, the more friends, it's more trouble. Sometimes you see. Today, very happy, very friendly attitude, or very good smile face. But within a moment, like this, you see, start fight. And hate it. So no traces left of friendship. It's very bad. That's the nature of human society. Now they, so they, is it some sort of satisfaction or happiness come from our friend, also not permanent and not too happiness type. In deep sense, it is also a nature of suffering. Suffering, a kind of suffering. Then look our own physical. Now you say our physical, no matter how are your physical is beauty and strength. You see, now concerning, you see, the beautiful. Now you see good color, or good touch, or in any case, you see, if we open each by each way, then you see, gradually they take out the skin. You see, more investigate, you see, more taken out, the more ugliness comes. You see, one drop of blood come, not good. Then see, this is flesh, raw flesh, right? Raw flesh. Come, go deeper, then finally bone. The word called scab. What is
skeleton?
I can't pronounce well that word. Better to avoid. In any case, you see, that thing, even you, in you see, hospital or some, you see, museum, these things are there. You see, sometimes we felt some uncomfortable. Actually, you see, that complete material exists within ourselves. You see. Now, here I'm looking on you. You see, some are quite gentle, some are quite fat, some are quite thin, some are quite handsome, like that. But if I, you see, wear a sort of, you see, X-ray machine. Then I will look, I will see all full skeleton, skeleton. You see, big eye like that, you see. So that is the real our nature of our body. See, no beauty. Then again, you see, as I mentioned earlier, today I ate some delicious food. Now you see, that delicious food, when I eat, it is beautiful, good taste. But somehow, making this, you see, and throughout, immediately, you see, it already changed in bad shape, you see, already. But somehow, you see, they weigh without notice that and swallow. And then, you see, feel some comfortable. Oh, now I got very good meal, and now the Dalai Lama Bhikshu is very satisfied. Go to sleep. Now, they actually, now that beautiful food, you see, go out on Kasote. Go, this is step by step, and work in my stomach. Then gradually, that same material, finally, will go in toilet. Which, you see, nobody regard beautiful. But that thing come from our physical, not from outside, not from pig or not from some other, you see, I mean, dirty animal, but come from us, our own body. No matter you are beautiful or you are young. So now, you see, the dirty thing, anyway, the thing which people regard very dirty, the thing coming this side or that side, that thing actually made in our human body. You see, this human body, anyway, the main purpose of our body is making these kasurda, what tools are they?
Excrement.
Oh, you see, these things. So now, what is our human value? You see? Wait. And while we are, you see, living, lifetime, always fighting, killing each other, no show compassion, no show concern, just killing, eating, killing animals, eating, and fighting, kill, you see, thousands, hundreds of innocent people killed in a war. This is those soldiers who are actually participate in fighting. You see, not their own initiative. Main initiative come from higher people, but higher people remain behind. The real suffering experienced by those innocent soldiers, very sad. So now, that is the human nature. And money. The notes of the law.
Dollars,
these things. The using money with contentment, with the proper way. Okay, it is useful. Without money, I cannot come here. You see, unless, you see, we have sufficient money, we cannot move. So you see, money is necessary. But, you see, if too much attachment to money, then, you see, if we look money itself, the money cannot eat. Money,
doesn't help at all.
So, now you see, some saint people says in past,
as much as one becomes more wealthy, so much does one get more suffering.
So now that is the usual our way of thinking about our life. So you see, analyze, think. Then you can realize the usual our way of life is almost like meaningless. Somehow we born in this planet. Now you see, because of meaningless life, if we going to suicide, going to take suicide, that is silly, very foolish. So now so you see, alternative is the samuti tenge, the challenge. Dungne the kade si mudwa. Semje tangye tegi tangu se aga, the semgi, semla tenge da. Simni jine, semjin jigden da, nujin jigden, shindo nazogu, doama lu, lele, hebra su, semba nane, lege, yema yins. Tidulido, shindi. Ne, alright. Kanda chigda, sim tu ma tu gu tenge, any sangen yidi, the lembu yidabaji, pejiri sebole.
What, rather than doing that, one should analyze how suffering arises, analyze one's own mind, and the various pleasure and pain which are undergone come about by way of good and bad actions that depend upon whether the mind is tamed or untamed.
So now, you see,
so thus, if we don't even consider past lifetimes, but consider this lifetime itself,
is it more to us?
More tamed,
you see, mind, you see, more peaceful, more mental peace. That is quite clear. It's no matter outside environment, very, you see, confused or complicated. So long your mind is, how again that word is, contained. You see, the outside thing, very little effect or very little disturb on your mind. So if your mind become, you see, angry or hated, or it remain that nature, then even the environment outside thing are very peaceful and very comfortable, you cannot get peace of mind. So you see, it clearly show that the happiness and suffering, happiness or unhappiness, very much involve our own mental attitude. So therefore it is worthwhile to train our mind. So now the my main thing is the that do shani any and the teddy ningu medavish that do samustana yona that dile that the tajis de you are yamare tasa man and that shak yamare.
If one needs to investigate the pithlessness, the essencelessness of the ordinary type of life in this way, and then if there were no possibility of an ending, then there wouldn't be anything one could do. But if there is a possibility of putting an end to that type of life, then one should do whatever one can.
You see, we today, many scientists as well as engineers, they concentrate making a certain mission, certain thing which explore outside deep space. Very good, you see, no harm, very good. But meantime, you see, they still, this small size of our brain, here also a lot of space to explore. So you see, now the question is, with this motivation, now I am not going to could kind of go to detail for explanation mm-hmm. about this possibility, these things. But now, since you see, there is possibility to get rid of the untamed mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So now it is worthwhile to follow the gradual method. Now comes the Shila.
Ethics.
But the motivation is not
It is with such a motivation of seeking to get beyond suffering that one should engage in ethics. With regard to suffering, there's not just the suffering of pain and the suffering of change, but also the suffering of pervasive conditioning. This refers to the aggregates or the mind and body that are under the influence of contaminated actions and afflictions. Once one has a body and mind that get their impetus from contaminated actions and afflictions, one